Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror. Your instincts.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to another episode of That Killer Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Isaac.
Mikey G here.
Frenchie's right here.
Yo.
There's a bit of delay in between us. It's distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
We're doing this remotely. So
yep.
Bear with us.
Safe.
Distance makes the penis grow softer.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so we're here now. For better late than never, the Chris Massacre finale.
Yep.
Gremlins. We watched it.
Gremlins.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So apparently I saw bits and pieces of this when I was a kid because I remembered some of it, but I don't think I finished it. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if it's because I thought it was too scary or something, but like, no, It was good. I don't know. What did y'all think about it?
Oh, well, let's do the plot first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plot synopsis.
You wrote the synopsis.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did. I borrowed a lot from other sources.
French is the only one that puts
Gremlins
any work
is
into
a comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Gremlins. Okay, I'm going to do the plot synopsis now. You'll probably have to edit a bunch of this. All right. Gremlins is a comedy horror directed by Joe Dante, who also directed one of me and Isaac's favorites, Small Soldiers, and was executive produced by Steven Spielberg, starring Zach Galligan and one of my first crushes, Phoebe Cates.
Mm-hmm.
Really says a lot about my preferences.
Yep.
An inventor stumbles across the perfect gift for his son, a mysterious animal called a Mogwai. The owner of the shop refuses to sell, but his grandson, aware of their dire financial situation, sells it without permission. He warns the inventor of three rules. It hates bright light and sunlight will kill him. Two, never let water touch him. And three, never feed him after midnight. Of course, all three rules get broken, and thus gremlins is and are born.
Oh, yeah. So
yeah.
Let's just go into that for a second here, just kind of our dream team making this movie possible. So, of course, you have Spielberg at the top producing it,
yeah.
But Joe Dante, come on, like... The Howling. He goes from The Howling a couple years before this to this, which is pretty awesome. And then...
I've actually never seen The Howling.
You've never seen The Howling. It's one of the best werewolf transformations. Mm-hmm. We should do a werewolf series soon. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Okay. I'd be okay with that.
But so, Joe Dante, very big in like the kind of the horror mythos in a way because of that. And then he comes and does this. Then you have Chris Columbus wrote this, who also...
Yeah. Wrote, go for it.
What
you tell him?
What? Which one do you think I'm gonna do?
Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone.
Did he do Home Alone?
And the Goonies.
Oh wow! Nice. I didn't know he did the Goonies. That's awesome.
And he directed the first few Harry
Columbus
Potter movies.
Cool.
Holy shit!
He did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's currently in production of directing a Five Nights at Freddy's movie. So we're gonna see how that goes.
What's Five Nights? What is that?
It's like a. I don't even really know. It's just like a. I think it's like a horror game that like people play, right? Five Nights at Freddy's. My little brother is like obsessed with it and I have no idea like what it is.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. So that's something else that's like in the works there. But yeah, so Chris Columbus wrote this and then immediately like struck up a friendship with Spielberg. And so then that's the Goonies happen and young Sherlock Holmes. So
that's
cool. So a little triple feature there.
Shit.
I just thought that was awesome. Like, this is kind of a dream team of people that come together who all have either had or go on to have this huge kind of long-lasting career that, like, deeply impacted pop culture. And one of the ways is that this movie and Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, are the reason the PG-13 rating even exists.
Yeah, I did.
I read that.
I did read about that.
So
interesting.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so kind of interesting fact that this is a Christmas movie, but it came out in June of 1984.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a weird move.
Didn't it air not like in USA in June, but in other parts of the world, it actually did air in December?
I don't know. I would believe that if that were to be true.
I think marketing was way less important back then because there was way less movies coming out. So like movies in and of themselves were like a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, movies are still a big deal, but besides Titanic, when can you remember in your lifetime, maybe The Dark Knight, maybe? Like, what yeah. has there really been that many, like, big deal type movies?
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you mean?
First one that comes to mind is, like, Avatar, where, like, I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't like Avatar.
Yeah.
So
yeah. See, I'm like, I'm a Marvel stan. So like the whole like, Avengers Endgame and all that. Like, I care so much about the Marvel stuff that like, the Infinity War came out when I was on my honeymoon and I made Allison go see it with me in Hawaii.
So, to me,
like the movies, and that's why like this whole pandemic thing is so scary, because I love the movies and I love going to the movies and seeing kind of big blockbusters. I mean, I'm like, I even love going and seeing the Fast and Furious stuff. Like,
but see, that's what I'm saying. All of this, like, movies now are so subjective and so like catered to like, or at least it's possible to cater to very fewer, like much fewer preferences, like much more specific preferences, because like I didn't give a shit about Marvel. I like the Marvel movies now that I watched them all because I had time to watch them all. So me and Zoe watched some, every other day or whenever we had time, and we ended up getting through the whole thing. And now I really like it, but otherwise I probably wouldn't have bothered because I just wasn't ever like a Marvel kid growing up. I was always a Batman guy. So like
that this brings up an interesting point that Allison and I were actually talking about earlier, about how society is becoming so niched out that like there are people that are insanely famous on like TikTok and shit that have hundreds of millions of people following them that like I just don't know exist.
It's the same with YouTube and musicians and stuff. You don't have to be famous in the classic sense.
Famous subjective famous these musician. Days. Fame has been democratized. Absolutely.
It's so weird because like one of my favorite bands, Waterparks, like people, no one I know besides people who know me know who the fuck they are.
Yeah, I only know about them because of
you. Not a single person I've ever met knows who that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But, you know, this movie comes out on the same day as Ghostbusters, which is cool.
That's cool.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, if you're really thinking about it, it's like, well, Spielberg is kind of the guy who invents the blockbuster movie with Jaws. Mm-hmm. Jaws is the first blockbuster movie, and that's less than 10 years, you know, before this movie. So you're in like, you're still in that first decade of this idea of the blockbuster movie.
Mm-hmm. When did Jaws come out? Do you remember?
I can look it up right now.
Jamie, look that up.
And I read
75.
That
75. Okay. Yeah. So,
wait, wasn't this? No, this is 84.
This is 84.
Yeah.
So this is like right at the tail end of the first decade of blockbuster movies even existing. And so you have this movie and it's just fun that this movie and Back to the Future were both shot on the same backlot, the Universal backlot, which is cool.
That's cool.
Why it might look familiar. And there's a lot of Gremlins stuff in the works. There's a Gremlins 3 that's been announced, and then there's the Gremlins TV series that they're making, which is a prequel, which takes the old Chinese man, Mr. Wing or whatever, who we get Gizmo from. It's the prequel. It's them back in China, how he discovers the Mogwai and first befriends Gizmo.
That's really cool.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
The movie was like far more violent. Like,
They cut off the mom's head and stuff.
Yeah, they decapitated the mom. The gremlins ate the dog. And Gizmo actually was the one that turned into Stripe, and they wanted to go more family friendly, I guess. Even though
The killing the dog thing was just like too far, man. I was hurt enough by the fact that they strung up the dog.
Okay, so do we want to like run through the plot before I start getting into specific parts that I liked and stuff?
Well, I think everyone's seen Gremlins.
Like, I just wanted to say,
you'd be surprised.
Oh,
you'd be surprised.
Lost Frenchie for a second.
You would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, basically, so we have the dad character who's an inventor who's in like Chinatown and goes to this weird shop who's led there by this kid who says it's his grandpa's shop, and what's the dad's name?
Peltzer?
I know it's Peltzer, but yeah. Mr. Peltzer is going in here because he's trying to sell the bathroom buddy. And he hears Gizmo singing and then offers $100. The old man is like, no, I am not going to sell you a Mogwai. Like, you in no way can handle that. Mm-hmm. And then the kid just, like, does it anyway. And then, you know, tells him the three rules, which are keep him out of the light, keep him away from water, and don't feed after midnight, which is the most mm-hmm. important. Which is funny because it's like, it's funny that they have a time zone specific rule. But
yeah, that is weird.
Yeah. And so now,
especially if it's from a different part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, we're talking midnight in China. Like, what's the sense?
Yeah.
Like, what's the sense here? And so now we're back in town here. And I just wrote that this kid spikes the shit out of this girl with a snowball, like straight in her head. And that's how that snowball fight starts. And so we get introduced to our main character, Billy Peltzer, who, like, mm-hmm. for some reason, and it's not the same guy at all, but for some reason in my brain, like, I equate him and the lead guy in Fright Night. Mm. They feel like similar, like, vibes to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets to take his freaking dog with him to work at a bank.
Yeah.
Dude,
that's rad.
I'm just going to go ahead and say there's a lot of plot holes in this. Like, a lot of, like, things like that I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
What? How would you even get it in the door?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Without someone seeing it. And then who, like, what bank owner, like, is going to just go, like, oh, well, as long as it behaves itself.
Yeah, no.
Right.
No. Like, nobody.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah.
Right.
No.
No, yeah, I thought that was, like, see, I didn't so much complain about it as I just was like, ah, oh, dang, I wish I could take my dog to work.
I know. That would be so sick.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but so that's when we're introduced to, what was it, Mrs. Deagle? Crazy evil woman,
dude,
who wants to freaking kill the dog,
problem?
Dude. That was crazy.
Yeah.
What is her fucking problem?
She was intense. That,
like,
was wild.
What, I want to know also, like, what kind of what role is she in her community? I guess she's like a real estate person.
Man, don't get me lying.
I don't remember.
I'm not. I'm not exactly sure what she was doing. But what's more important is that she was rich. Very rich.
Uh-huh.
So rich that she named all of her cats after different currencies, is what it said on the trivia page. But
interesting.
This sounds like the anti-Frenchie. Like,
No, what's so funny is that I literally wrote in my notes, why was there so many capitalist pigs in this movie? The fucking bank owner, Mrs. Deagle, everybody, even his fucking dad was always trying to sell some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Literally trying to sell, like, the Mogwai.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. That's why he was, oh, yeah, let's let him be born. It'll be fine.
Yeah, no. But, so basically, through the whole bank stuff, we get introduced to Judge Reinhold, who I thought was going to, like, be in more of the movie and then wasn't really. Right? Like, I thought he was going to have a bigger role to play, but maybe that's just because he gets, like, more famous later, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, so that's when we meet Kate, who, her whole, like, Santa story later is so intense, like, with her dad.
Dude.
That got so dark.
She uses
so...
the phrase, opening their wrists.
Yeah. I was, dude. Oh, what?
Dude, she says, I think the exact line is, people everywhere are opening up their hearts, meanwhile they're opening up their wrists.
Oh my god.
Ugh.
This movie's only rated like PG-13.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love her.
Yeah. So now Mr. Peltzer gets home and gifts Billy his new Mogwai, who freaks out at the flash of the camera, so dad breaks down the rules of the Mogwai that he can't break. And so now Gizmo, I thought Gizmo singing along to the keyboard little synth thing was really cute.
That was cute.
And Gizmo and the Santa hat was so cute.
Howie Mandel is the voice of Gizmo.
Oh, shit.
No joke.
Oh my god.
Howie Mandel of Bobby's World fame.
Is that the dealer?
Yes,
deal
it is.
No deal guy?
And
yeah,
and I mostly know him from the movie. What was it, Little Monsters, where he plays like the monster under the kid's bed or whatever? and it's Fred Savage.
That movie is scary too. I watched that movie for the first time in like probably 20 years the other day, and that movie is awesome.
So good. Definitely one of my favorites. It was one of those movies that I saw when I was a kid that I didn't see forever, and I didn't know if it was a real movie or a weird dream I had one time. And then I finally found it again, and I was like, yo, this is it. I love that movie.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good movie.
But so then, oh yeah, so Corey Feldman is in this movie.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Which is fun. Yeah, I mostly remember him from this movie, like when I was a kid. It was this and The Goonies, obviously.
Yeah.
And The Lost Boys were like the main, like, hell yeah.
What? Okay, this was in my notes. What is their relationship exactly? Why is he such good friends with such a, like, small child?
I don't know.
Like, I don't think it didn't seem creepy or anything. I just, like, don't understand how that
would
be.
Are they, like, neighbors or something?
I think he lives, like, yeah, close. Because, like, when everything's popping off later, you know what I mean? Like, they kind of cut to him later, and he's, like, taking out gremlins, like, at his own house, right?
Yeah, but, like...
I don't know. I mean, I mean, obviously, they're just, like, family friends kind of thing.
Like, I would see around. I guess, yeah. I guess I guess things were probably different in the 80s. Like, people just were just, like, better neighbors.
Yeah, and in the era of, like, the latchkey kid thing, and just, like, kind of just...
I guess that's true.
Yeah, and I guess he was ditching his job or whatever because he didn't want to wear the freaking Christmas tree suit or whatever he was having to wear, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's hanging out there and then freaking spills water on Gizmo.
Yeah. Yep. And then things got fucking crazy. Like, that the way he looked when he was blowing up, I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. This is awful. And then it was really kind of confusing how they multiplied, and then you weren't really exactly sure which one was the right one, and if the original one died somehow. But then randomly, aren't they just like, oh no, that one's Gizmo? Like, how did they know?
Well, you never really know. You always know which one's Gizmo, but I think that it's a weird thing, like just how they like spawn off. And they can pretty much just, like, go forever. Like, they can just keep making more and more and more and more and more just with water. And, like, my question more so was, like, is there a reason, like, is there another way to, like, reproduce as Mogwai that don't end up evil? Do you know what I mean? Like, were those Mogwai that came off with Stripe and everything, were they inherently evil? Or was Stripe just a bad leader who was evil and led them astray? Because Gizmo had no control over him. Gizmo was like nice and good, and they all seemed to be like crazy and shitty. It's like,
I think that
Gizmo was the exception, not the rule. Mm-hmm. Because they threw him in the trash can or something, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they? Or the laundry chute. That's right. Laundry chute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, why do so many Chris Columbus movies have laundry chutes in them?
I don't know. I wish I had a laundry chute.
That's a good.
Yeah, I've never seen a house with a laundry chute, because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be spooky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
that'd be spooky.
I don't know. I just feel like I would always imagine some dead bitch crawling out of it or something.
Oh no. Goodness.
But yeah. <All right. laughs> now that I think about it, a lot of the themes It felt like they were all kind of compacted into this movie, like really, really dark sometimes, but then also family friendly, but then scary. And
it's pretty dark and crazy. And I do think to Frenchie's point, I do think it is kind of an anti-capitalist movie. Like, it's about the problem with like all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. The greed and stuff. Mm-hmm.
I watched Dead Don't Die. I don't know if you've seen that yet, but there's kind of a lot of that in there too. Like this, like, when the zombies are like dead, they're all like going back to like where they went when they were alive. It's like the people like hanging outside of the pharmacy trying to get in, people hanging out like, yeah, like trying
That's awesome.
To go get. Yeah. So, anyway, so I think there is kind of that to this, just this like excess. And if you don't, when you don't follow rules and you don't like, you know, do what's right, this is what happens. There's kind of this like moral tale of like, but
yeah, like a little like warning kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear, especially you, Isaac, I would love to hear your thoughts on the music, because I heard very different opinions. Some people thought this music was just silly. Some of it thought it was like amazing, like groundbreaking. I honestly couldn't tell because the music was two things. It was, for me at least, it was the only thing that really made it a children's movie. That like goofy kind of music made it seem more childish. But at the same time, it also kept it from being as scary as it could have been.
Yeah, man, I couldn't tell you, actually. I'm like, the music didn't stand out enough for me to like write it down.
Yeah,
like it fit the movie. It didn't like ever take me out of it. Like it,
like how much scarier? Okay, you know when they take like the plow thing and they start it and run the guy over or whatever, or like they run into the house. Like the theme music, it was like such goofy, like polka style sounding music that, like, I don't know.
That does make sense.
Like,
I think that plays up with the tone of the movie where it is like they're childish. They're just
ridiculous.
Doing it like, they're just being silly. Like, if this is a silly little creature feature of
them just being rambunctious,
it's a comedy
stabbing
in a lot
people
of ways.
With needles.
Yeah.
Like, and they go full comedy in the second one, which is why I think the director likes the second one better. Joe Dante prefers part two.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the old lady that got launched out of her chair? Oh my God. I was crying laughing.
That was great.
I rewinded that part.
That was great.
I rewinded it. It was so fucking funny.
Yeah, that was
agreed.
I think that was my favorite kill of the movie.
Oh, for sure. It's kind of wild how the gremlins just like took over the town so fast.
Yeah. Like, and it was confusing. It's like, did they kill everybody or did everyone just go into hiding? I don't know.
I loved the bar scene. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
Like, why is she
the
still
one
there
lone
to
gremlin
them?
Just
yes.
sitting
yes.
at the
Run
table
away.
By himself with the drink, just with the like the like the that, like in like noir lighting and just like
that
was,
great.
It's great.
That felt to me what every night felt like at the bar when I worked there. Like people just screaming and yelling at me and I'm trying to refill beers as fast as I can. But like, that's just how people were at bars.
That's funny.
So let's talk about, okay, so you might be right about this whole Gizmo is more the exception, which makes me interested in seeing like this show that kind of goes back and explores this. But so Gizmo is cute and I love him. And the new Bad Batch.
Yeah, he is.
Is what I call the second crew with Stripe. But the Bad Batch, they want like food and Billy feeds them thinking it's not past midnight. And Gizmo says, no, he doesn't want it. Right. Which is interesting. But like, so he knows what happens if this happens. But what's interesting is like, why didn't Gizmo like tell him not to do it if he knew, number one? But number two, like, because the other ones chewed up the clock so that it would say it was earlier than it was. So they want to become this, right? Like, and so that was interesting. And so I loved all like the weird, like alien-esque like pods that they're in before they like actually become gremlins. And then but when they start to hatch and the mom's there, and then everything just like pops off.
Yeah, dude, the mom is a savage.
Yeah, that was
oh
awesome.
My God. Yeah,
when she killed the one in the microwave.
I'm glad she didn't.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, dude.
And
yeah.
the mixer, dude. Yeah. So good.
Yeah, she kicked ass.
Yeah, dude. That was my favorite. That was one of my favorite moments in the mixer.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
So that was probably one of my favorite moments. Is like all the pods and then. The mom like realizing something's up and like she's on the run and like the record's playing and like all the stuff's going on. That was definitely I think my favorite moment probably until the end of the movie.
Same.
Is definitely probably my favorite moment. Just seeing, we'll get there. But and we can't forget about the fact that Billy took one of the new Mogwai before it was a gremlin, over to I guess it was a scientist who was just like a teacher at like the school.
Yeah.
And so that's where the other one ends up getting. That's one of our first like. That's our first like kill, right? Is the gremlin there kills him because he's hungry for human flesh.
Yeah.
Why do they kill? Snickers they kill just to kill, right?
I mean,
I don't think they're like purposefully going like they're not like. I think they're just about chaos. They're more just agents of chaos than they are specifically. I want to kill.
For sure. I think the killing is just a happy mistake or a happy coincidence.
Right.
Yeah. So are they aliens?
Good question.
Well, that's, they never really explain that.
Yeah. I wonder if they are.
Nah, man, they're just from China. They're illegal aliens.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and then the one that she threw in the fireplace was cool. That was a cool one. Yeah.
No, that was sad.
And then Billy gets home and he finds Gizmo was in the laundry chute throughout that whole scenario. And so now we're on the Billy is on the hunt to try to find Stripe and figure out what the fuck's going on. Mm-hmm. And so now we have just the gremlins are just going ham.
Wreaking havoc.
On this whole town.
Yep.
I did have a question. Like, why? If the kid knows the rules, the kid that sold it, the kid at the shop, mm-hmm. surely, if he knows the rules, surely he knows why the rules are there. So why didn't he just say what the rules were about? Because I feel like, and I mean, maybe I'm alone in this, but if someone told me, hey, there's these three rules, this is this, and this is this, here's why, because you might end up accidentally turning them into these fucking monsters that are going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd be more inclined to be like, hey, seriously, don't put fucking water on them and don't feed them because, like, literally they're going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he didn't because he knows that this guy is a greedy American dude who would probably purposely put water on them to multiply them to sell them.
But if he knew, well,
and also we wouldn't have a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I
gotta stop just coming at everything trying to disprove it.
Yeah.
It's definitely fake.
Yeah, it's definitely not. This isn't a documentary.
Yet.
So they're out and they track. Yeah, because they track Stripe to the YMCA where he's jumped to the pool. So now there's a ton of gremlins. They're taking over. Billy and Gizmo make a run for it to the cops. And the cops are just laughing them off, being like, okay, this is ridiculous. And then they meet Gizmo, and they're more just like, oh, this is cool. Let me play with this thing. And then, Futterman's TV messes up. The gremlins are playing on his antenna. Then they run him over. And then there's that gremlin in the mailbox, and the priest just totally, like, lets that dude get killed. Like, he just lets the gremlins kill that guy. He's just like, let me just see what, you want to go ahead and put something in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, let me see what happens.
Yeah, just, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, he just, like, watches this dude die.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like, dang.
Well, you know.
Yeah, and then another gremlin messes up a stoplight, causing some traffic accidents.
Chaos.
Oh, yeah, and then the gremlin Christmas carolers was funny.
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Then that's when you have the Mrs. Because it was Mrs. Deagle was the one that was in the chair that got thrown out the window.
Oh, was it?
Yep, mm-hmm. I remember.
Good.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, fuck
her. That bitch flew.
Yeah, she sucked.
Yeah, and then Corey Feldman calls into the radio station and then to, like, warn everybody, but then the radio station gets attacked by gremlins.
Yeah.
And then,
of course.
Then you have, like, the one you love, Frenchie, the gremlins going wild at the bar, and Kate is just serving them. Why are you serving them? Yeah. Like, that was my
ridiculous.
There's just so many silly little things.
Why don't you just
run? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just,
do what I did at my bar job and just say, hey, I'll be right back, and go to the kitchen and just stay there. Everyone just chills the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because that was my thought. I was like, first of all, one, why are you serving them? And then how do these gremlins
also
know how to play
know
poker
about
and shit?
Yeah.
And then the ones that are dancing. And then third of all, how do these clothes fit gremlins? How do they have gremlin clothes? Where did they find the clothes?
Maybe they attacked the mall and went to the American Doll store.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah, they just go to, like, fucking Build-A-Bear and just, like, pick out some dope fits.
Build-A-Bear.
I love it.
And so then that's when Billy saves Kate from the bar, and then we hear about Kate's dad,
mm-hmm.
who died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In a horrible way.
Sad.
Just rotting in the fireplace. Literally the worst shit you could ever imagine. And then they go to the movie theater where all the gremlins are now watching Snow White. And
yes,
they kill all of those gremlins by setting that bitch on fire. But Stripe wasn't there. He was in a department store.
Mm-hmm.
And him trying to get away on the tricycle cracked me the fuck up.
Yes.
He just hops on the tricycle and is trying to just like ride away.
That was a really funny movie.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, and so then we have this whole giant great scene here that I loved. I just always loved seeing Gizmo on the little RC car coming in to save the day.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Yeah, dude, that was so cute. That was very
cute. With the like, his big jump, and then Stripe jumps into the water, but then Gizmo saves the day by letting a little light in.
Did you ever like notice that kids' movies back in the 80s and even in the 90s were just so much like they allowed them to be more scary?
Mm-hmm.
Which like I wonder what that says. Like, I mean, obviously there's like a helicopter parent like thing going on probably more than when I was growing up. Certainly more than when you guys were growing up, and definitely more than when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder why that is the way, because it came out with so many like just like, I mean, so many influential movies. Like, I remember E.T. scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is creepy. If you're like 4 years old, that's a creepy movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wonder like why people are choosing, like, these movies grossed huge numbers. So like, I wonder why they're so afraid to make movies scary for kids again.
I don't know, but
yeah, I don't know.
I want to see it though. I mean, that's what we can do. We can make. Also, I mean, I'd like to do a series on this show about horror movies that are more geared towards kids and do like Monster House and maybe that Little Monsters movie. And
Scooby-Doo would be fun.
Scooby-Doo. Yeah. There's one I'm thinking of that's like Paranorman. Like, there's some good stuff out there that could
there
be
is,
geared
yeah.
like pretty creepy. But I think in general, I think that PG-13 rating had a lot to do with it. I think once the PG-13 rating kind of came out, then it was like, oh, we're just going to do this. We're just going to like make stuff in this kind of field. In general, I think.
Yeah,
I do think that there is something to that. But I'm not. I guess I'm going to have a lot to learn about that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what I think. Because there's this funny show that that Eleanor watches on my 1 year old daughter watches on Disney Plus called Vampirina. Whoa. And
I have not seen it, but that sounds awesome.
It is. And it's like a vampire family moves from Transylvania to Pennsylvania. and they have to try
That's
to fit
awesome.
In.
Oh but, my God. Anyways. Do we want to do ratings? My phone's about to die.
Dang.
That'd be awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If
I just like left, I don't know how it'd come back.
It's like Mikey's out. No, we should probably wrap it up. We're at the over half hour mark. So, so anyway, the Gizmo saves the day, but then the Chinese man, Mr. Wing, shows back up and is going to take Gizmo away and basically says, you've done with the Mogwai what your people have done with all of nature's gifts. You are not ready. I love the last shot of like the old Chinese man walking down the street, because there was just something so weird about that, because it just looked cool to me.
The cinematography in this movie was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
There was parts that really stood out to me, like where I wrote about this. Well, I can't remember now. I don't remember exactly what I was thinking about, but there was like one movie where like, oh, it's when he first starts like giving birth. There was like a couple shots where like the little things were popping off, and it was like very 80s, but it looked awesome. It was just a really cool shot.
Yeah, it looks so gross.
Yeah, the 80s were definitely the high point of film in a lot of ways for me, because of practical effects. They, you know, use like real puppets and animatronics and no CGI or anything like that. And so it feels tactile, you know. You can see it and know that it's a thing that existed in the real space with the people.
I know, absolutely. I love that, and I hope that they eventually go back.
Oh,
to
for sure.
Because it was
so bad. Mikey, what's your rating?
I really did solidly enjoy it. It did feel like kind of off, like I guess I just didn't know what I was expecting when I was going into it. I didn't know it would be like that gruesome, but there were some good moments, good like feel good and good like jump scary, not jump scary, but like kind of weird, gross. And then the mom fighting was really badass. I'm going to give it a seven.
Okay.
That's a respectable rating. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Isaac, how about you?
It's hard not to have nostalgia bias.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, for sure.
Because everything in me wants to say 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think there's anything I dislike about this movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
I like the tone. I like that it's a scary movie you could watch with your kids if you wanted to. I like that it's you know, just the mythos of it with all the people that were involved, what they did before this, what they did after this. It's just such a good, sure, like, I'm going to give this a 10. This is a 10 for me. This is a staple for me that I'm going to watch for years to come, have been watching for my whole life. So it's a 10.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That's cool. Good. I'm glad you liked it so much. Uh-huh. All right.
I gotta balance out Frenchie's bullshit real quick.
No. No, I'm actually going with a 7.2. This is a good movie. It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. I will say that because I don't actually have nostalgia with this. I've seen this before, but I actually saw Gremlins for the first time. I think I was like 20, like 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. It came out in 84, which is 1 year before I was born. I do have like some sense of nostalgia with Gizmo because, weird fact about me, there was, my mom's best friend, her husband drove a truck where he delivered, like Lay's potato chips. And back then, you guys don't know this, but they had a huge marketing campaign. Like, it was going on for years and years and years after Gremlins came out. Mm. And then the second one came out and it went even harder. I remember they had these little like glow in the dark stickers you could get, and like things that went over your light switch so you could see your light switch in the dark to turn it on, which is pretty cool. And they would get them like inside the chip bag, which was really cool. It was like prizes in the chip
bag. Oh, interesting.
Sick. Yeah, super sick. So I have a little bit of nostalgia, but not actually for the movie. So unfortunately for me, like probably the same thing that Mikey experienced, I noticed that because of my lack of nostalgia for being a kid watching it, I kind of went into it with like a grown-up feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though the times reminded me of when I was a kid because I was born in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like, I got that vibe of it. I loved that vibe of it. But it was a little bit too kiddie for me to enjoy as an adult as much because I don't have the nostalgia. That said, though, I think, Isaac, I think you nailed it when you said that it's a movie you could watch with your kids, a scary movie you could watch with your kids.
Yeah.
My parents didn't watch scary movies. Mm. So like there was no intro to scary movies. There was no horror movie culture in my house. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why I didn't see it. My mom didn't let me see a lot of movies growing up. Not because she was like a jerk or anything, but she was just a little bit more protective, you know.
Right.
Because my parents were divorced, so she kind of was on her own with that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. My dad wanted to show me everything. My mom wanted to show me nothing. Mm-hmm. There was a balance in there somewhere. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a 7 also, just because like it is an awesome movie. But there was a lot of holes for me as an adult, mm-hmm, that just like didn't add up, that just left me wanting it to be almost one way more or the other.
Yeah.
Like a little bit more horror or a little bit more childish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
But again, I do recommend this movie to just about everyone. It's a cool movie.
Yeah.
I think it's a must see for everybody, especially if you like horror.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. And if you just like film history and you know, just the history, like, absolutely, yeah, blockbuster, yeah, movie, Spielberg, the kind of genesis of the PG-13 rating, like,
absolutely, yeah, yeah,
this definitely,
sure,
this is a movie that's definitely kind of stamped in the history of like cinema in general, and just so happens to also,
well, and it's
be
also just a
horror,
fun movie.
Yeah, it's fun. It's silly.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's like, mm-hmm, you know, shot on the Universal backlot.
It is a very,
like,
fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this is definitely, yeah, I stand by my 10. If I didn't have nostalgia bias, I'd still probably give it an 8. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Is this the first one? Is this the first one we've done where we all just generally liked it?
I don't know.
Well, no, because I think,
except for maybe Freaky
and Black Christmas. I think we all were good on that too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Dope.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this movie was fun. I think everyone should see it at least once.
Oh, definitely. And then maybe we'll eventually talk about the second one. Yeah, Phoebe Cates. There you go.
Yeah.
If we can do the second one, we should get Phoebe Cates as a guest star.
That would be the dream.
We can do that, right?
Yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Clearly.
Obviously, yeah.
Well, we'll announce soon what our next series is. We love you guys.
Yep. This has been fun. Bye, guys.
Yes. Hey, before we go out of here, please, I just want to remind everybody out there to please add us on Instagram at ThatKillerPodcast and on Twitter at ThatKillerPod. Mm-hmm. Please ask us any questions you have. Please let us know what you want us to cover, if anything. Awesome.
Yeah.
I miss you guys.
All right. See y'all when we see you.
Adios.
Goodbye.